Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we gather together this morning enlivened, empowered, and encouraged by your love for us, which knows no bounds. Your love, which celebrates us regardless of who we love and how we identify. You love us, no exceptions, period. We long for the day in which the beauty and joy of pride reaches every corner of the world, where all experience the abundant love of God and share that love with one another freely and also without restrictions. To hasten that day, we will keep sharing the love of God, enlivened by you, Holy Spirit, empowered by you, Christ our sibling, and encouraged by you, O wonderful Creator. Let your love bind us together as we continue to celebrate that in you all are loved, all are welcomed, and all are affirmed always. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Cameron Bird, and our contemporary reading this morning is Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. But meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear rain, hello, clear pebbles of the rain are moving across landscapes, over the prairies, the deep trees, the mountains, and the rivers. And meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue sky, are headed home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
Hello, good morning. My name is Julio. The scripture reading for today is Psalm 139, verse 1 through 12 and 23 through 24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, that's rude. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings off the morning and settle at the furthest limit of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
Well, good morning. My name is Molly Morgan, and I am our Minister of Christian Life and Formation. Normally, I am hanging out with the kids, and that's a very fun job, but today I am doing this instead. So, happy Pride Sunday, everybody. Was anybody at the parade yesterday? I got very, very sunburned, so I had a really good time. Everyone was telling me to stop yelling because they're like, you're preaching tomorrow, but I just screamed for 4 hours straight because I love it so great. But something important to know about me is that I love a personality assessment. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. You may not know or even want to know, I am an Enneagram 4. We got some love for that. I am an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs. I am a Scorpio Sun, Gemini Moon, and Libra Rising. But I feel inclined to tell you that because I love a personality assessment. I even love taking BuzzFeed quizzes. I like to know which type of grilled cheese I am. Sometimes that's fun, informing of the self. But I'm also annoying, and I like to insist, don't put me in a box, right? I'm that person too, maybe you're that one. But my obsession for that really started in college. They had us take the StrengthsFinder test, and if you've ever doubted if you're good at anything, you pay, and StrengthsFinder will say, you are good at these five or six things. It's amazing, it's so great. But after that, I got obsessed with the Myers-Briggs, with Enneagram, I loved podcasts and books. At one point, I even led an Enneagram small group at a church I was at, which I feel like tell me you were evangelical without telling me you're evangelical, that you were leading an Enneagram-focused small group. But raise your hand if you've ever been interested in personality assessments at all. Yeah, we like that, right? I think there's something deeper that keeps us continually coming back to that, beyond just the joy of it occasionally profiling people by their personality type. I'm the type of person to be like, oh, you're such a one, right? Of course you did that, right? A little bit of good and bad in that. But it's not just the curiosity that keeps us coming back. It's this deeper desire to feel known. And we want language for why we are the way that we are, right? We want to feel understood. We want someone to help us make sense of ourselves. We want to understand the people around us. And I've heard it said in the past, and maybe you have too, that knowing God and knowing ourselves are these deeply interconnected things. And I think there's some truth to that. And that's part of why I find this passage for today, Psalm 139, so compelling. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. And I don't know if you remember back to a couple months ago, I preached on Psalm 23. That was another one of those, I like to call it a pillow passage, right? Because people love to embroider Psalm 139 onto things. They're like looking at this decorative pillow and they're like, you know what that needs? It needs Psalm 139, right? Or it's that type of framed little scripture you get at Hobby Lobby and you put into your bathroom for some reason. You're just sitting there like peeing. You're like, oh, this is so inspiring. Like, why is this right there? Yeah. It's one of those passages, I feel like. And it's one of the most beloved and well-known passages in Scripture. If you grew up or spent any amount of time in the church, you've seen Psalm 139, maybe you've memorized it, right? Which is very impressive. But for some of us, the idea of being known doesn't sound comforting to us. It sounds uncomfortable. It sounds vulnerable. Maybe to some of us, it sounds awkward or scary, right? The heading of the New Revised Standard Version of this passage is titled, The Inescapable God. Depending on your understanding of God, that's either beautiful or it's terrifying. For many of us who grew up in a more conservative Christian space, God's knowing might have been presented to you as intimacy. God knows you better than anyone else. God knows you better than you know yourself. But to some of us, that was really felt or understood like surveillance. God is always watching. God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows what you did. God knows what you thought. God knows what you're hiding. So in the past, when I've heard, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me, the younger version of myself did not feel comforted by that. Truthfully, I felt threatened. I felt threatened by that, and it would steal my sleep and keep me up at night with anxiety, tossing and turning. Because if God searched me, God was going to discover something. And it wasn't that I was an Enneagram 4, and it wasn't that I was an INFJ. It was that something that I was told about me was wrong and sinful. And God was going to find out that I was gay. And that surely meant that God was going to reject me based on everything I had been taught and heard up until that point. Maybe some of you can relate. My senior year of high school was one of the hardest times of my life. Some people, you're like, oh, the glory days. I'm like, thank God I never have to relive that ever again. I didn't like it. It wasn't fun for me. I was in a super unhealthy and codependent relationship with a girl who was closeted, and in turn, I had isolated myself from my friends. My parents didn't understand, didn't know how to help me, and I was exhausted from trying to hide while simultaneously feeling like everyone already knew this thing that was going on in my life. And yes, I was more or less openly queer at a private Christian school. So if you've ever heard the phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, we all know, total BS, right? I have another one. If you think you can hurt me, you can't, because I was openly gay at a private Christian school. I am impenetrable. Some of you might know exactly what I'm talking about. I just want to know, how many people here grew up going to like private Christian school? All right, we got a handful of us. I feel like we need to have like a book club, support group. I'm gonna find you guys later. But at this tiny private Christian school, and there's kind of a range of 150 people total, everybody knew everybody's business. And we were required to attend chapel services weekly. So I can remember this one chapel service in particular for me. Everybody had already left, all the pews were emptied, and I stayed behind. And my life felt like it was in shambles. My friends and I weren't really talking, because if you know the vibe of being in an unhealthy relationship, you kind of isolate yourself. And I was in this secret relationship that I was told was shameful, and as we know, secrets already hold some shame too, so I felt a lot of that. And my parents didn't get it, didn't know how to help, and I was hiding from God, because I was waiting for the other shoe to drop in my life. My grades were terrible, college was coming up, I had no plans. So I sat in the back pew of this chapel, just holding these broken fragments of my life. And I was desperate for some sign from God. Maybe you know that feeling. I just needed something, some reassurance that I was okay, or I was going to be okay again eventually. And as I sat there, and I think you know the vibe if you went to private Christian school, sometimes you can be with the same people for 12 years. That is good or bad depending on the person. So there was this girl, we had known each other since fifth grade. She was valedictorian. She was on the worship team. Every teacher was obsessed with her. Her and I didn't really hit it off. We didn't really get along that much. We didn't really like each other. And she started walking over to me, and she looked at me, and she said, "God knows what you're doing. And God is very disappointed in you." And that sentence stayed with me for years. And I became terrified. And I low-key ended up hating this God that knew everything. Because if that knowledge resulted in rejection, then why would I ever want to be fully known by anybody? And so I carried that with me for many, many years, into college, into my 20s. It deeply affected my relationships and friendships for many years of my life. And I moved to San Diego a few years after this because I was like, my life is a mess. I don't know what to do, right? And so many people had told me, well, it's because you're not living according to God's plan for your life. That's why these things are hard, right? Instead of the fact that sometimes life is just hard and you're gay at the same time. It's not that life is hard because you're gay. God is not punishing you for being gay. Sometimes those things just coexist. But people told me, they were like, you're living against God's plan. Things would be easier and better if you weren't living like this. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try it. Why not? Right? I was 17 or 18 years old. I just was willing to take anything. And so I moved down here to go to a Christian college. And I did the small school thing again. And I doubled down on Christianity and evangelicalism. I said, you know what? This is going to be the thing that gets me, my salvation, right? And I swept my past under the rug, and I just started to be more feminine, trying to dress more feminine, trying to date men. I did all these things. I got real, real holy. I was at church every night of the week, Bible study, leading worship, doing the whole thing. I was like, this is going to be it for me. And for about 8 years, I didn't tell a soul that I met that I was attracted to women, that I ever dated women. It was a secret that I carried, and I kept these people and things in my life so separate from each other. And I was always worried, what if someone I knew then meets someone I know now, and they're gonna tell? And I just worked so hard to keep everything in this perfect place so that I could just be this new person, and that old person was dead and didn't need to exist anymore. I was so afraid for someone to find out that I was queer and that I had been out. and I felt like a fraud. And I feel like all of us, whether this situation applies to you or not, knows what it feels like to wonder if people really knew me, if God really knew me, would they still love me? We all question that, because being known is always going to carry that terrifying risk of rejection, no matter who you are. But as my journey with the divine has grown and changed over the years, I know I misunderstood the psalm. Because God's knowing isn't about catching us or proving that we were wrong or whatever. It's about accompanying us and walking with us and being with us. Notice what that psalm says. You hem me in behind and before. Your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. And I see this now as the language of a God who refuses to leave. And then the psalm says something even more beautiful. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And what if God is saying, I know everything beautiful about you? Your queerness, your quirks, your hurts, your heart, your hopes, your dreams, your frailties, the mistakes that you still feel guilty about. I know everything beautiful about you. And there's another part of this that I love. Sometimes the truth about who we are is hidden even from ourselves. That is so crazy. As a therapy veteran, I've been with my therapist for 8 years. I love her. She's the best. I think she's great. I see this in therapy all the time, and maybe you have too. When my therapist's eyes light up because all of a sudden I've discovered something that she's known about for years. This happened to me recently. I was like, you know, I think I intellectualize my feelings. And in our sarcastic back and forth we have now, she's like, you think? And I'm like, touche, right? She's known about that forever. And I feel like COVID was a similar time for me and maybe some of you, that we had so much time to reflect, arguably too much time to reflect, without distractions, places to go, right? And that was what led to my deconstruction. It led to my coming out. Many of us know what that's like, that the truth of ourselves is even hidden from us until we are ready to receive it or to know it. And maybe that's true of our sexuality. Maybe that's true of our gender or ADHD or autism or depression or grief or gifts or passions or interests that we didn't know we had until we are later on in life, right? I feel like as we grow older, we have this tendency of spending years becoming who we already were. Before we were judged, before we were told that who we were was wrong or weird or not okay. I look back at childhood pictures, pictures of when I was an evangelical church girl, and I laugh because that person was so, so gay. So gay. I was like, she was really doing it. She had the mascara on. She was like, let's have a little crossbody bag because we still don't like purses. Still gay, right? And it's clear as day to me now. It didn't matter how I dressed or who I dated or tried really, really hard to become the holiest and most perfect version of myself that everyone else wanted. And I really did get affirmation for that. Looking back, I see someone who is so desperately trying to become someone else. And maybe you can relate to that in different times of your life. God never had that sense of confusion towards me. God wasn't waiting for me to figure it out so God could decide if God was going to accept and love me or not, because God already knew me. Before I knew or understood myself. And that changes everything. Because maybe the journey of faith is not about becoming someone different. Maybe it's about becoming more fully ourselves. Maybe resurrection looks less like erasing who we are and more like letting go of everything that convinced us that we weren't worthy of love. When I first came out, one of the greatest gifts that I experienced was chosen family. And I feel like there's a lot of people that feel that way. If you're unfamiliar with the phrase, it's literally exactly what it sounds like. It's family that you choose for yourself. It's the people that become your home, your safe place. It's the people that celebrate you, not just accept you. They celebrate you exactly as you are. The people who remind you who you are when you need reminding and you've forgotten. The people who don't ask you to shrink. Those are the people that are chosen family. No hiding. No need for explanations. They simply love you. And chosen family has been sacred to the queer community because so many people have experienced rejection in the exact places they were meant to experience safety. And I wonder if chosen family is one of the ways that God fulfills Psalm 139. Through people, through community, through maybe a church that's a lot like this, that says you do not have to hide here. You do not have to dress a certain way to walk through those doors or pitch your voice different or carry yourself differently than what feels comfortable for you. You don't have to hide. You don't have to become someone else to belong. It's not a bait and switch situation. You don't have to become someone else. You are already beloved. And I feel like beloved is one of those words that gives me that like cringy feeling, like when people sing you happy birthday, I'm like, oh, what do I do, right? Beloved. We don't really go around calling each other that on the daily. I feel like for me, I'm more of like a dude, oh, bro, what's up, girl, girly pop, right? Like pretty much everything besides that. But I feel like it's still important to remind ourselves and each other that we are beloved, right? Because it's so easy to forget. The psalm ends with these words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." For years, I thought that prayer meant, God, please find what's wrong with me and fix it. And now I hear it differently. Now I hear, God, help me see myself the way that you have always seen me. Because perhaps the greatest miracle of Psalm 139 isn't that God knows us completely. It's that God always has. The miracle is that little by little, we begin to get to unearth our true selves. I feel like it's almost like when you're a little kid and you want to go on a treasure hunt, and you're digging through the dirt and you're finding buried treasure, our true selves, that we get to know and love ourselves and each other. It's a gift, it's a miracle. And I feel like that might be what pride is really about. We don't have to convince God to love us. I feel like I need to say it again as a reminder for myself and maybe somebody else, but definitely for me. We do not have to convince God to love us. We do not have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. We can have the courage not to hide. We can receive the love that has always been there. And we can become fully ourselves. We can create a world where everyone else can do the same. That's my hope for everybody in here. It's not just for you, but also for the people you come into contact with every single day, whether that's someone working at a grocery store or Ace Hardware or whatever it is that you're encountering people, that you can create a world where people feel safe enough to be themselves. Because if we've done that, we've done something right. I can remember clearly in college, I thought it was a weird pattern, but multiple friends of mine felt safe enough to come out to me. I was like, it's because I just exude Christ's love. Definitely, it's gotta be it. But I never felt safe enough to do the same back to them. But it was something that if someone feels comfortable enough to come out to you, I really hope that you take that and stick that in your pocket as like, that's pretty cool. that they felt safe enough to be their true selves with you, because you have done a good job of showing that you love them and you celebrate them in all of who they are. And I cannot think of anything more Christ-like than that. I can't think of anything more Christ-like than that. So I am gonna invite the band to come up, and we are gonna do a little bit more singing, and then I will come back up. But I want us to really meditate on that idea. Am I a safe space for people in my life? Regardless of what that is, do I create a space where people can share anything and I will love them and care for them? Because there's a lot of people, especially right now, that are very clear that they do not love and accept everyone. And they do it under the brand of Christ, which breaks my heart, but it gets me fired up, because I know there's people in this room that are going against that, because all those people and more were at Pride yesterday. And maybe they live out Pride every day. So, go ahead. Amen. I want to refer back to that poem from the beginning of the service, Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. You do not have to be anyone's definition of good. You do not have to punish yourself. You only have to let yourself love who you love, how you love, and what you love. It is enough, and it is beautiful. Amen, and go in peace.